Question 142. Why are you so sad? Luke 24:17. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as you walk and are sad? 3 days have passed since the death of Christ. Two of his disciples walked toward Emmaus, a town 10 or 12 miles west of Jerusalem. Cleopas, one of them, notices a stranger has joined them in their travels. Surely it was not uncommon for travelers to cluster and keep company on long trips, and this day would be no different. Or so they thought. It's said that if you talk to someone for 5 minutes, you can easily find what's most important to him or her. We give ourselves away when we speak. For, as Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I recently met a woman who was excited about gambling. She talked about where she'd been and how much she'd won and where she was going next to try her hand at new machines, new casinos, and new games. It was so much a part of her conversation and thought that she despaired even to talk of her children and rather wanted to talk of gambling. If someone told her that she had a problem with it, she'd probably deny it, insisting that it was just a pastime. But her speech gave her away, did it not? To be in control of our speech would be to analyze everything we say from an objective viewpoint before it was said, to hear it as it will be heard by others. It's a tiresome exercise, but a sure sign of wisdom and prudence. Proverbs 29:20, Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. Ecclesiastes 5, A fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. Our emotions also give us away. It's with emotion that we're able to say one thing while communicating another. And it's by emotion that we hear another message other than what someone is actually saying. In order to communicate clearly, we have to be in control of our emotions. To be in full control of emotions is essentially to fully engage in none. Our emotive behavior comes mainly from feelings of desperation or fear, but there's a sinister aspect as well. To purposefully emote while communicating can be an attempt to project a feeling onto or into the person to whom we're speaking. Emotion is aptly applied to stage actors. Purposeful emotion has no place in Christian witness. Many times emotion and feelings are held as synonyms, but they're not. A person who emotes their feelings may cause those feelings in someone else, but the act of communicating that feeling need not be done through emotion. It can be communicated through a logical or intellectual exchange on many levels. Emotion nearly always demands reaction. Reaction to stimulus is never higher than the level of an animal. Feelings of joy or sadness, hope or fear, are high above the understanding of animals and are legitimate and useful feelings for mankind. To attempt to create these feelings in another, we use our emotions. To manipulate others to do or think as we wish, we use their emotions. These men on the road to Emmaus were not emotional. They were feeling very sad. The hope of all Israel had been laid to rest 3 days ago, and with him, all hope of a better life for them and their children. They felt that he had promised a life that he was unable to deliver because he had been killed and his mission cut short. They wondered how they could ever regain the momentum that his ministry had developed, or even if they wanted to. They struggled with their hatred of the men who crucified and felt defeated in that hatred. They feared for their own lives at this point. And though we're not told so, this may well have been the reason they were traveling to Emmaus. They wondered what had happened and why. They wondered what would become of them and the life that had been promised them. They rehearsed the words of Christ over and over and thought perhaps they misunderstood something or misapplied his words to mean something else. Maybe Christ was the fake that the Pharisees said he was. Perhaps they were duped into believing something that was not even true. Could Jesus have been insane? But what about the miracles? As this vine of reason grew in their minds and tangled, the truth became more and more frustrating and distant. They found themselves walking slower and slower, as it occurred to them that if Jesus was a phony, if they had been duped, there was no point in continuing, nor was there any point in looking back. Their feet dragged the road now, as it was becoming hard to see any point in living. It was just then that Jesus appeared on the road as a traveler. Holding his identity from them, he asked, "Why are you so sad as you walk?" It was obvious to anyone nearby that there was sadness about these two men. It would be nearly impossible to hide such crushing sadness. These men had lost their hope, their future, their purpose, and their greatest friend. They were not necessarily emotional. They were sad, and it showed. The men on the Emmaus Road only lacked a revelation of the truth. They needed only to see that what they had thought was true was not, and what they thought was gone, lost, and hopeless was none of these things at all. In fact, Christ was not gone. He was glorified. And they were not lost, but on the verge of being saved. Their hopelessness was far from real. Though they did not know it, Christ was beside them, alive and well. They only lacked an opening into the spiritual side of their situation. In the most perilous times in your life, the time when all hope has fled away from you, you may very well be in the best times and only lack a revelation of the truth to change your countenance from desperate sadness to inexplicable joy. The burning in your heart, the revelation in your soul writhing to be released, may be nearer than you think. Your release from the pains of death and separation, your bursting into relief and escape from our entombing fear and anxiety, is as close as a conversation with the Savior. He waits to comfort you by sharing His point of view, His perspective, and His understanding. From the perspective of Christ, there are no problems, no defeat, no oppression, and no evil power that has not been put under His feet. He longs to tell you this and make this real to you in ways you've not yet known. As you walk your own road of Emmaus, your road of discouragement and escape, as you consider all the things that went wrong and calculate the death and destruction to follow, or you're overwhelmed with the fear of continuing without some tangible presence of the Lord, you may become obviously sad to those around you. As this sadness begins to permeate all of your life, and cynicism sets up a home in you, and your life becomes a display of the sadness you feel, you may become emotional and try to transmit that to others through various means. It may look as though you're angry or contrary, but those are emotions that we're only using. The Lord sees through that meanness, that cynical attitude, that negativity. He does not ask you why you're so negative or emotional. He does not inquire as to your reasons for your lack of enthusiasm or your lack of direction or lack of purpose. He wonders why you've not consorted with him, sought new revelation, new understanding, or a new perspective on your faith. He wonders why you've not sought his perspective. Are you ready for your heart to burn within you? It begins when you honestly answer, "Why are you so sad?"